This is live radio. I'll instead of doing the podcast, I'm going to commentate on the Liverpool versus West Ham game. Mark Noble.
It's like Pistol Shrimps Radio, but for actual sports.
Yes. Mark Noble's been sent off for West Ham, and the West Ham players are very angry. Liverpool are still losing 2-0, which is kind of annoying because I like Liverpool better than West Ham, and West Ham are a bunch of annoying people. I hate West Ham. Fun fact, only Liverpool game I've ever been to was a nil-all draw against West Ham at Anfield, and the West Ham fans were jerks the entire time. Big old jerks. A lot easier to do this than actually do the podcast because I have no notes. Hello and welcome to Pilot Season. I'm just going straight into it right now because we're in an unusual situation because Alan's not actually in Alan's house or in my house, where the two places where we normally record this. Alan's actually in Limerick. He's gone back to Brocon, even though Brocon's not actually on anymore. And actually in a travel lodge in Limerick. Hi, Alan.
Hello, Patrick Brogan.
Alan's down.
That was a weird introduction.
I know. I liked it, though. I feel like I'm on some sort of form right now. I don't want to lose it. I'm also watching a game of football as this podcast goes on, because we're recording a completely different way than we normally do.
Patrick, you should really have the full attention directed towards the podcast. It's what the listeners expect.
I have no notes. I don't know where my notes went. So this is going to be...
If only you hadn't been bragging about your note system earlier in the week.
True. It's come back and bitten me in the butt.
Karmic retribution is swift.
I don't know what happened. I had... Actually, what's worse is I had notes for the podcast and I had notes for something else that I'm working on. And I've lost them both. And I don't know where they went. I think I didn't save them, which is cool.
I'm sure they'll turn up.
So this week, we're going to be doing the amazing screw-on head. So that's called, right? Screw-on head? I keep wanting to go screwball head, but that's me, I think, conflating the amazing world of Gumball or something. Isn't that a thing?
Gumball's totally a show. A lot of current creators of Cartoon Network shows have worked on Gumball first.
From my understanding of the amazing screw-on head, if I can get the Wikipedia page open, because I spent the last 10 minutes looking for my notes and couldn't find them, it was an Adult Swim show?
No, actually, it was a pilot for the Sci-Fi Channel.
Oh, yeah, I can see now. It was a pilot for the Sci-Fi Channel. It's a 22-minute pilot that's it's based on a comic, which Alan can probably tell us more about. I'm sure you know more about the comic than personally I would, being a not-comic person. So why don't you do that?
Okay, The Amazing Screw-On Head is a creation from the noted creator Mike Mignola, who's most famous for being the creator of Hellboy.
Oh, I've heard of that. He's a boy from hell.
Yeah, and he's had two fairly successful movies directed by Guillermo del Toro. Starring Pearl Ronman, yes. As the titular Hellboy. Mignola kind of is noted for a sort of an incredibly dark art style, but also very cartoonish, and having plots that tend to be about horror and hidden histories.
Sorry to interrupt you, Alan, but Liverpool have brought on Jordan Ibe for the last 10 minutes.
That's fascinating, I'm sure. You know, people listening to this podcast will, if they care about this match, they will already have known how this match turns out.
And, oh, Liverpool almost scored. There was a corner, and I think Jordan Ibe headed it down towards Dejan. No, it was Benteke to Lovren, and Lovren headed it, but it didn't go in.
Okay, well, go on. One of us is going to be dedicated to the listeners.
Pistol, Shrimps Radio.
Yes, so the Amazing Screw-On Head is another creation of his that hasn't been as popular as Hellboy. And Hellboy is really Mignola's main focus. Screw-On Head, it was a one-off. And then he was approached by Brian Fuller to turn it into a animated series, which we watched a pilot of.
Which we did. It's a 22-minute pilot. It's according to Wikipedia, it differs from the comic mainly that the characters are more fleshed out with backstories. It includes the characters of the amazing Screw on Head, who is basically an automaton type thing, whose head screws into different bodies, and you have Mr. Groin, his manservant, and Mr. Dog, his dog, who is I think also dead. I don't know.
Yeah, Mr. Dog is dead. He's mounted on wheels.
His enemy, his nemesis is Emperor Zombie, who is voiced by David Hyde Pierce, who used to be Screw on Head's manservant, several manservants down. He has a thing about killing Screw on Head's
manservants. He himself calls it a petty vengeance fetish.
He does. David Hyde Pierce is...
I know, he's so deliciously evil. He's more deliciously evil than he was on The Simpsons and Sideshow Cecil. David Hyde Pierce should always play villains. That's what I've learned.
And here he's playing a zombie, essentially, who is called Emperor Zombie, until he stops being an emperor because he has raised a demigod who he's decided that he is more powerful than him. So, the Wikipedia article does quote the petty vengeance fetish as a thing. In the cartoon, Emperor Zombie is voiced by David Hyde Pierce. The Amazing Screw-On Head is voiced by Paul Giamatti. Mr. Groin is Patton Oswalt. So, you know, you got Oswalt. You've got quite the cast.
Yeah. Which makes it amazing that this didn't go to series.
It is amazing. I mean, you look at other people. You have also President Abe Lincoln is the Screw on Head is basically like a
he's like a dark arts troubleshooter.
Yeah, and Abe Lincoln sort of calls on him when they need him. So an amazing little telephone thing that they've got where Lincoln contacts him and there's this picture of Lincoln with the lips moving.
Yeah, there's a flap, and behind that is a picture of Abraham Lincoln's mouth open, and it just as he's radioing Screw on Head, it flaps open and closed.
Yeah, it's actually really cool. This is incredibly steampunky. Yeah, because it's a 19th century thing involving a robot. Of course, it's going to be.
So let's get into the story, shall we?
Yeah, I have no notes, so you're going to have to do it.
Well, then we open a Museum of Dangerous Books and Papers in 1862, where alarms have started going off as a man is in a room reading some sort of ancient scroll. This old woman gets escorted into his room, which I'm not entirely sure why they'd do that anyway. And one of the head guards gets a wanted poster of the person who is the security breach, and it turns out it is that same old woman who's wanted for, among other things, lycanthropy.
I noticed that, and not long after that, she transforms into a werewolf, and a monkey and another old lady come in. Yeah, come in, and they kidnap the dude, and jump into a blimp and fly away.
And then Abraham Lincoln finds out about this and calls for Screw on Head.
Liverpool almost conceded a third goal. Sorry, I got distracted. It's nearly over though. He does call for Screw on Head, and Screw on Head, we're introduced to him, apparently doesn't actually wear a body around the house. He just hops about as a giant, as a head on
a he's like one of those people who when they get home, they just wander around in their underpants.
I guess he'd call that. And he's a manservant called Mr. Groin, which is a strange name choice, but hey. I guess you got the head on the groin, I suppose. I guess it works.
Yes, I was
Gonna go
going to
on?
explain the scroll is important because it refers to an ancient treasure that could help rule the world. It was used by this guy called Gung the Magnificent.
And everybody wants to rule the world.
Well,
That song
Professor
said
Zombie
so.
certainly does. Oh, yes,
Emperor
Emperor
Zombie.
Zombie.
He's not a professor, he's an emperor. Don't you denigrate him, Alan.
He might have a professorship, we don't know. He's done a lot of study. But yeah, I think
Maybe.
the Emperor does supersede Professor, so I retract that.
He usually does. Yet the scroll is important, and Emperor Zombie wants it. And Abraham Lincoln's worried about the personal nature of this mission for Screw on Head, because Screw on Head is, as Emperor Zombie, as we mentioned, was Screw on Head's former manservant, and it's all very personal. And Lincoln's afraid that it's too personal for Screw on Head, who apparently has emotions despite being a screw.
Yes, I wonder if he was actually a real
Robot
person at
thing.
some point. But that's never explained. He's just a guy whose head screws into bodies.
He's basically Wurzel Gummidge.
Yeah.
He's a Wurzel Gummidge that solves crime.
As opposed to going around bothering children.
Yeah, that's really creepy when you think about it. Also, second Wurzel Gummidge mention on any of our podcasts.
I feel like there's been more than two mentions. We'll have to start a wiki.
We will. I mean, if Pope Town can have a wiki, we can have a wiki. A wiki Wild Wild West.
They must go to Marrakesh because an informant there has information on the whereabouts of Professor Froen, who was kidnapped.
And they go to Marrakesh where there's a mummy telegraph reader, which is interesting. And there's where we meet Patience,
yes.
Who is she is Emperor Zombie's sort of assistant person, another one of his people, and she was once the lover of Screw on Head. Look at that flashback.
It's a brilliant flashback. They're out having a picnic in a lovely mountain vista, and Screw on Head is about to say that he loves her. But she wants to say it first, and just before she says it, Emperor Zombie's blimp comes by, the anchor just swings into screen.
Liverpool 0, West Ham United 3.
And a big, huge bat comes down and takes her.
Yeah.
I'm completely ignoring this football cast, Patrick. If you want to talk football, you can start another podcast.
Sorry, they scored it 3-0, Alan.
Well, there's no coming back from that.
Not now, it's like the 93rd minute.
Unless they enact the rarely used multi-ball rules.
I don't want to go on the internet now. It's just going to be awful. Screw on ahead. Closing the tab because I've had enough of this.
This is turning into Dear Hank and John. I'm going to start doing news from the world of Mars, and you've got news from the world of football.
How many more podcasts can we reference in this podcast?
James Bonding.
I was there too.
This is part of our announcement that we're now part of the Earwolf Network.
Super ego. Let's just keep naming Matt Gourley podcasts.
He's on Spontanean Nation a lot.
I know.
Anyway, Patience gets kidnapped by a giant bat, immediately turned into a vampire, left in Emperor Zombie's arms, and he says, "Mine now." And Screw on Head yells, "Damn you." And first off, he refers to him by his original name, which I didn't take note of. Mr. Manifold, wasn't it?
Yeah, yes. Damn you, Manifold. I mean, damn you, Zombie.
And there's some great direction on that where it's zooming out as he's doing damn you, and then it zooms back in when he gets the name wrong. And zooms out again for the proper dramatic. This show has a great sense of humor.
It does. It's very... The sense of humor is actually surprising considering how dark the art style
and the subject
is
matter. I mean, come on, it's the love of his life was just stolen and turned into a vampire.
It's a black comedy.
So Patience harbors a grudge because of this incident. Only towards Screw on Head, though. Not Emperor Zombie. The guy who actually committed the atrocity.
Well, at least Chelsea have lost. That's okay. We're on two different podcasts.
What I'm saying is
today.
It's a bit of a blind spot in her, and maybe she should, you know, examine that at some point. But see what she's actually... what she actually wants out of... out of life or on death.
It's true. So we had with what's next after the patient?
Yes, back to Marrakesh.
Yeah.
Screw on Head decides that that he's had enough of patience and wants to put her out of her suffering and fires a stake out of his arm.
Which she vanishes and misses, but they catch her in a cage.
Yeah, she turns into smoke, goes up a chimney, and Mr. Groin is there with a cage to catch her in bat form.
And then they interrogate her in like the Oval Office or something.
Yes.
And Abraham Lincoln is again concerned about the entirety of the entire thing because, you know, it's too personal. Not only is it his former manservant, but it his former lover, and it... Screw on Head is in too deep.
Yeah, he's seriously emotionally compromised. But all Screw on Head talks about is America. Screw on Head is one of the most dogmatically patriotic characters I've seen.
He's a very patriotic robot.
Meanwhile, David Hyde Pierce is being deliciously evil.
Oh, so delicious. He just evils the evil in the... He smokes a guy.
This is entirely true. If you haven't seen the show, you think we're lying right now, but it's honestly true.
He puts Professor Freund into a giant, basically a giant hookah, and smokes
to gain
him.
All his knowledge.
Yeah, he's just like, I am going to smoke you.
Anything
now.
You want to say before I smoke you? Yes, I know where the temple is. Oh, so do I. I just can't get into the blasted thing. And then he smokes him.
And he's all like, I know everything now. And they do go to
the
Mississippi
to get it. Yes, the temple is under the Mississippi River. The last place you'd look.
Surprisingly. Yeah.
Old Man River got a secret.
And, and it's a temple of some sort of ancient warlord rule, earth ruling guy called
Gung the Immortal, or the Magnificent, but he is also immortal as it turns out because he starts to warn Emperor Zombie. He says, "Foolish mortal."
Yeah, and he's like, do I look mortal to you?
and takes the jewel.
Of course.
Yes.
Or turnip.
It's a turnip with a small parallel dimension inside. That apparently you can detect that.
He's got his two old lady sidekicks are apparently also really like science orientated because they're working on cracking the entire thing when the Amazing Screw-On Head arrives. And I think that they
with patience.
I can't. He arrives with patience in the cage. But I feel like at this point she has transformed back into her kind of human form, and she's just trapped in this bird cage.
So now we have a standoff where Screw on Head threatens to stake Patience unless the Emperor Zombie puts down the turnip. Yeah, it is.
That's the sentence you just said.
But Emperor Zombie's having none of this moral dilemma. Honey, is it okay if he stakes you if I get world domination and out of the bargain?
And he's kind of like, yes, but
So they
also
released
not
a
really.
demigod. There's a demigod trapped in a vegetable prison.
As is known to happen. Should we also mention the fact that Mr. Groin and Mr. Dog turn up?
Oh, yes, and then they take out the monkey with a gun and a crown.
It's like a turret gun, and he's a monkey wearing a crown. I think he's called Mr. Monkey. I didn't catch it, or something like that. Anyway, and he spies something in the grass, fires it, and it's Mr. Dog who just. They shoot him and like sand just comes out of him because he's clearly a stuffed dog. And that's kind of, I guess, a sign that there's a cavalry on the way to help out Screw on Head, who is now under the underground battling a demigod. And oh, the demigod's actually kind of amazing.
Yes. First thing the demigod does when he comes out is he says, "Evil is coming now. Coming right now."
And there's a music sting and nothing
And cuts a
happens.
commercial break.
And Emperor Zombie's just trying to. It's really great how he's just trying. He's just. They're trying to sell himself to the demigod. He's kind of like, you know, in this modern age of artillery, and they have giant balls that will they can destroy everything. And you really need me
and an army of unzed zombies. You dig them up, I'll necromance them. Also, he says he's been looking for a master worthy of serving, and you, baby, are it.
And I don't know how reasonable this demigod is. You know, traditionally, you would kind of see these parallel universe monster things kind of come in and just start destroying
stuff. Yeah, they
come
in and they're all like,
but no.
Choose the form of your destruction, and then they wreak havoc on New York in the form of a giant marshmallow man. But this
yeah.
guy's here, he
yeah.
wants to know what's been up in the world since he was last there. He's interested in the advances that we've made and how we can use them to rule.
Yeah. He's actually, you know, he's put some thought into this. He's not just your average havoc wreaking demigod.
He's serious about his job.
Yeah, he takes his job really seriously, and that's good to see in demigods.
Yeah, he's a demigod I can get behind. And I'd much rather be behind than in front of him. Because if you're in front of him, he's probably going to crush you underfoot like he did with Screw on Head.
Yes. Who just gets smushed and then gets it. Is that before or after he gets a new body?
That's before he gets a new body.
He gets this new kind of demigod fighting body that they have a big old fight to get with the demigod over, stopping him from, you know, demigodding about. I've heard that fight doesn't last too long. I can't remember what happens though. So I think
Screw on Head gets out of the body and then self-destructs it.
Oh yeah.
And the demigod is trapped in his alternate dimension again.
He goes back into the turnip, and then the underground thing. I think it starts to
collapse almost immediately, as often happens when you defeat the demigods.
Hmm. And Screw on Head gets trapped under a rock.
And yes, Mr. Groin takes Mr. Dog away. Also, the patients and the old women escape, but Emperor Zombie gets trapped in the legs of Screw on Head's mech suit and sinks to the bottom of the Mississippi, which is a lot deeper than I thought it would be.
Well, yeah, there's probably some mystical stuff going on there to make it deeper. But Screw on Head is trapped, and Mr. Groin and Mr. Dog escape to the shoreline. They think maybe it's all they've lost him forever, but no, because Gung appears from underwater holding Screw on Head and hands him to them. Only in time for, and at this point Screw on Head says that he's happy for Mr. Groin to he needs a friend, and Mr. Groin's been a little bit too familiar throughout the episode, but at this point he's willing to allow him to
Screw on
be
Head's
his friend.
Kind of had for problems getting too attached to manservants after the whole Emperor Zombie thing.
Yeah, it'll happen. I mean, it's happened with the seven different Adams that came before you.
Shouldn't you declare that cloning lab to like the UN or something?
Shush. Don't mention the clone lab. It's
I'm
totally
pretty sure
doesn't
you're violating
exist.
some form of ethics.
No. It's just it's perfectly legal. It's declared as a extra microwave. Yeah. It's a
It's just really
microwave
large.
and
Ignore the embryos
it's
inside
really
it.
large. It's for
They're Tostitos.
They're not embryos. That's they're yes, they are there and
Officer.
you just leave my cloning lab alone. Okay? Yeah. Just
Gonna
don't.
need to
It's
see a warrant.
your business. Don't even think about looking at the pig at all those pig embryos I've got lying around in vials. It's all perfectly safe and humane. I'm not cloning anyone. Okay? Just
And this is how Patrick
don't.
turned into Rick
Just
from Rick and
don't.
Morty.
I'll kill you. Yes.
Yes, patience comes by in Emperor Zombie's blimp and steals Mr. Dog. Because apparently, Screwhead
Yeah.
can't have nice things.
No. No fun. No fun at all. And we cut back then to the Oval
It is, yes.
Office where I think it's the Oval Office, yeah, where Lincoln and Screwhead are talking. And turns out Gung is the new
He's the new, he's the representative for the Paleolithic era.
Yes. And is apparently how the homestead and they decide there's more stuff out there and it's all west of Mississippi and this is apparently how the Homestead Act got passed which is the act that gave it gave people parcels of land to go and go out west really and apparently this is why it existed so they could go and they could find more ancient artifacts.
And it ends on Screw on Head outside the White House saying, "We're coming for you, America." So
Yeah.
this is insane.
It is
But
insane.
delightfully insane.
Absolutely insane.
Much like Emperor Zombie.
Yes. 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 Absolutely delightfully insane. It is mental. It is.
He has so many great lines in this that we didn't even cover.
David Hyde Pierce is
I
phenomenal.
love him so much. He needs to play all the villains ever. Get this man a Marvel movie.
He's just so good at the whole.
He could
He's
be
just so
Doctor Doom.
good and so silly, and still evil, and it's great. It's just really good. It's so much fun. I don't know why. There wasn't more of it.
I'm not sure. Sci-Fi Channel pull up online to see what the reaction would be. And I have no idea why nothing came out of it. Because this is a great pilot. There's plenty of directions for the story to go. I can only assume that that Sci-Fi Channel were just being jerks. This was around 2006. Sci-Fi were kind of getting out of the whole science fiction aspect. They were starting to get into more reality shows. Eventually they'd get
And
SmackDown.
wrestling. I like how you went, reality shows. Eventually they got rest. They got SmackDown.
Well,
Actually,
SmackDown isn't a reality show.
they had They had ECW before that.
Yeah, like, so I'm guessing like it was just cheaper.
Oh yeah, that's easy content. Reality shows and I guess WWE are cheaper because basically you don't have to produce them.
Also around this time, Sci-Fi started airing all those Asylum movies.
Again, things you don't have to. Well, actually, I don't know if they actually. They probably don't do fully produce those themselves either.
Sharknado, I think, is actually paid for by Sci-Fi.
Like, oh, that's going to make them money. That makes them money hand over fist.
Exactly.
I'd say.
Yeah.
But like most of the Asylum stuff is probably just Asylum.
Yeah, and they just buy the airing rights. That's probably why I blame it on the like. They really got out of original programming once Battlestar ended, and they cancelled every Stargate series before they were done.
Cancel every Stargate.
Which I'm not bitter about at all.
Sail every sea.
I'm not bitter about the decision to cancel Stargate Atlantis when. Not fund any movies to finish up the storyline. How did they get it back off Earth?
I don't know, Alan. I never watched Stargate.
Also,
like, ever.
Also, Stargate Universe ends with everybody going into cryosleep.
Makes sense. It's a good ending. I guess. I don't know. I know nothing about Stargate apart from the fact there was a movie and then a series and a lot of other series and MacGyver's in it.
Yep. Those are all true facts.
Do we want to rank... Rank the program.
Right, yes. Let's rank the Sci-Fi Channel. Boo.
I give it a 2.5 out of 12.
So, actually, I can't complain too much about Sci-Fi because they've gotten back into producing their own series now. Dark Matter is fantastic.
Oh, they're rolling in that delicious Sharknado money.
Oh, yeah. If Sharknado, it means that I get more Dark Matter type stuff. I'm totally in favor of that.
You know they're doing like a competition for Star Trek NATO 4 to decide whether Tara Reid's character lives or dies. I guess it's like that Kevin Smith thing for not Tusk. Is it called Tusk?
I think it was called Tusk.
Where was it? It was hashtag war is yes, hashtag war is no, if you wanted to make the movie. Like, it's hashtag Tara Reid lives, hashtag Tara Reid dies. Which is exactly like that pitch from for Homer's movie in The Simpsons. Yeah. Or no, Ron Howard's movie, based on Homer's movie, about the talking pie. He has to decide whether his son lives, hashtag lives, or hashtag dies. So, the top 10 as it stands is... because. Nuts to reading the entire thing. It's a 30-episode list now. Pride of the X-Men, Jade is at number 10. J.D. Doyle at number 9. They're fine. Look Well, starring Adam West, is at number 8. Tag Team, starring wrestlers, is at number 7. Pain, at 6, is Fawlty Towers. Number 5 is The Cage, the very first episode of Star Trek. At number 4 is The Coltons, which had no MacGyver, but it was on MacGyver. Crazy Town. Number 3 is Heat Vision and Jack. Number 2 is The Man of the High Castle. Number 1 is The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. I gave no real things for those, but hey.
Why not listen to the previous episodes and find out all about them?
Exactly. Good idea. And I'm suffering from football sadness. It's a real disease of supporting a football team that can't defend. You tune into the stupid podcast about pilot seasons to hear about sports. So hi, this is high on the list.
Definitely,
actually. Like there's no way. I don't know what it's definitely. I think it's top 3.
Really, you think it's better than Heat Vision and Jack?
Maybe top 4. Better than the Coltons,
it's
anyway.
It's definitely better than Coltons. I'd say number 4 is probably the best place to put. Yeah, it's great. It there should have been more of it. David Hyde Pierce is wonderful.
I'm still not fully sold on Man in the High Castle being number 2, but democracy. Democracy doesn't always help you out. I mean, just look at the fact that you can have Donald Trump running for anything.
That's not about democracy at all. You just need money to run for president.
Yeah.
As Trump is proving.
Or, you know, we live in a country where Eurovision winner Dana has run for president like thrice.
Well, one time she tried and then didn't.
Yeah, because no one has wanted to run. Ireland's presidential elections are crazy. The fact that the president can just go, yeah, I want to stay on for another 7 years, and people are like, okay, but we're just not going to bother nominating anyone. So I think we decided the Amazing Screw-On Head is number four. I write on the list now. It's now number four. It takes over from the Coltons, which drops to number five. Heat Vision of Jack is now at number three. Man in the High Castle is number two. And Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt sits high on top of the peak, looking down on us all from her Kimmy Schmidt castle. Ironic, given that she came from a bunker.
And now she has a castle.
Actually, just realized, number one and number 30, both people who ended up in bunkers. That's Kimmy Schmidt and Hitler.
There's some synergy there.
There is still symmetry in the list. I'm quite proud of that.
Patrick, we're going to have to start watching some more bad stuff. Clarissa now is slipping dangerously down the list.
Well, next week, Alan, we've got Cop.
Yes, this is something, since we started doing this podcast, this is one of the ones I wanted to do.
And looking down the future, the future episodes that will affect you in the future, I see some bad stuff, like that I know is bad. Not for a few weeks, but I definitely know at least three of these things are bad. Or if not bad, at least really bad in comparison to what they were spinning off. So, Heat Vision and Jack is our number three, but Amazing Screw-On Heads are number four. And next week we're doing Cop Rock, which is a musical.
It's a police procedural musical.
Do we need to even sell anything more?
No,
on that?
No, we'll just leave it hanging there.
I think we should sum this up, because you're in a travel lodge, and you probably have I don't know, you probably have more things to do soon. I don't actually know what your schedule is like.
Yeah, I have to get ready for a meal now, once I'm done here.
Alan's busy. We're not going to tell you why. It's a secret.
Yes, it's a secret.
It's a secret. So this has been another episode of Pilot Season. I forgot to say at the beginning of the episode, I put up a video last week. And I totally forgot to say it at the start of the episode. But it's a video I made before. Because I forgot to... I didn't forget to save the original Michael Collins video, but what I did do was lose it somehow. I think I might have been re-editing it to put it on YouTube months ago, and then accidentally deleted it at one point, and ended up with two files on my external hard drive, both called Michael Collins, but both turned out to be the actual film Michael Collins. Which really confused me when I went to upload it to YouTube. But wait, why is this taking like a million years to upload? Like, oh.
That's a great way to lose a YouTube channel, Patrick.
Yeah, it is. So I had the script for the original, and then I took that and rewrote it into a much shorter script and produced a second video, which wasn't on the schedule. So that's actually, it's given me a video for August, because I was not quite sure if I'd get the video I wanted to do for August done in August. And now it's definitely the September video.
Hooray.
Hooray. And we've shot some of that already. So hooray. But yeah, Michael Collins' video is up everywhere on theunemployedhistorian.com, on nerdvice.com, on youtube.com, where I'm getting lots of subscribers now, thanks to Blip dying.
The Blipocalypse has been good to us.
The Blipocalypse / Leon Thomas being lovely and putting me on a list of his favorite web shows. And Leon Thomas, former guest, who was on the Cage episode, host of Renegade Cut and Word Funk, and occasionally Attack of the Trek when that still happens, but it doesn't make him much money, so he doesn't do it very often, I don't think. And also because I think most of the Blip people, most of Blip's internet reviewery people have moved to YouTube, so a lot more eyes getting on the subscribers, which is cool. And you can find me in all those places, which I've mentioned. And Alan, if they want to find you, currently they can find you in Limerick, but when this podcast is up, you will be not in Limerick anymore. So where can they find you elsewise?
Well, you can find me on Twitter, where I'm at Alan Byrne. That's spelled A-L-A-N-B-E-I-R-N-E, because it's a different name, you guys, for the love of God. I'm on Tumblr. That's alanbyrne.tumblr.com, which is spelled the same way. And I'm also, I have a website, which is alanbyrne.com, although it kind of sank under the Mississippi. Look, there was an ancient ritual going on to revive the website. It didn't go according to plan.
I'm getting the feeling that something has happened while you're in Limerick to make you say the name spelling thing.
Maybe.
It happens a lot. We'll be back next week with Cop Rock. Oh, yeah. Goodbye, people of internet land.
Bye.
I waved at the microphone for no reason. Goodbye.